Episode 47 brings us Raymond Labios. Raymond is from the Philippines. Raymond worked as an engineer back in Korea before joining us at WP Carry. He has mad skills in PowerPoint and he's concentrating in marketing and business analytics. Over the summer of 2018, he interned at Ulta Beauty. Here is my conversation with Raymond Labios.
All right,
welcome everyone. This is Personalities at Carry and we are on episode 47 with Raymond Labios. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about your background. Where do you come from and what brought you to WP Carry? What got you to decide on doing an MBA?
Right. So, yeah, I originally am from the Philippines and from a small town called Espanyas, Luna, which is about 2 hours south of Manila. And I graduated from the University of the Philippines, Los Baños, way back in 2008. Oh my gosh, a long time ago. And worked for 4.5 years in Manila and then decided to get a master's in electrical engineering because I wanted to pivot my career into the power industry because at that time, after the economic crisis, that made me think about, you know, like just having a career that wasn't very reliant on I know commoditized types of industries, I would say. But yeah, the energy industry is kind of like that. But then I saw a great, how do you say this, potential for renewable energy at that time. So it was around 2011, I think, when the Fukushima disaster took place.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me think about my role as an engineer and probably think about, like, yeah, how could I contribute to this problem that we have? And that made me think of pursuing graduate studies. And then an opportunity came up to study in South Korea and then knew nothing about Korea. But I knew that this was a path that I had to take if I wanted to pivot my career, and I took it. And, you know, just like I lived in South Korea for 4.5 years, beginning 2012. First, I studied for a master's in Seoul National University of Science and Technology, getting an electrical engineering degree with a focus on power systems design. And yeah, well, while I was studying, I was working along with a utility company called Korea Electric Power Corporation Research Institute, such a long name, which eventually after I graduated, I joined as a researcher. So it was a risk that I took, but it's paid off, I would say, so far. And it's just helped me create this path that I wanted for myself, which was, for me, it was great. And then it wasn't, after I joined that company working on energy storage research, my boss was like, so what are your plans after you're done here? I was like, I just got here. And what you're asking me for my next steps already? But apparently that's what many of their staff do. So work on research and then probably get a PhD. I was like, wait, am I ready to commit to a PhD? It's like another 5 years. But actually, just being there, doing energy storage research, and then talking to people, seeing the huge interest in it, made me think that, wait, maybe there's a different way where I could help or, you know, use my talents, not becoming a PhD, basically. So, and then I enjoyed really interacting with our clients and potential clients, and then talking about the technology and its potential use in current power systems. And then there was like this huge interest in it during that time. It was 2015 when I joined the company. And it's funny, after I joined, I did get that question, but also it was around that time when Elon Musk announced that they were going to sell energy storage batteries for home use. And then my boss was there with the company for many years and has been working on energy storage for several years at that point. was like, what's happening? Why are so many people calling? Mm-hmm. So we were benefiting from Elon Musk's announcement. So that made me think, okay, there's this opportunity here that I could pursue. And then I was getting questions from my managers back there, like, do you know of any business models where you think energy storage can be successful? I was like, I don't know anything about business models. I'm an engineer. I'm a lowly engineer here. I can only do simulations and stuff like that. And then, those are the elements that made me think about getting a business degree.
Mm-hmm.
And, start looking at programs. Are there ways aside from getting an MBA and get these business skills at the same time? But then, as the more I looked into MBA, the MBA degree in general made me think that, hey, this is a great way for me to change the way I think as an engineer, the way I speak as an engineer. I'm very much a nerd. And, in engineering school, you don't really get taught
how to
communicate well. And when I was working as an engineer in Korea, working along other engineers, like you have your own language already.
Mm.
But then I saw myself also when I spoke with other people, I didn't know how to articulate it in a way where it's like quickly understood or just using simple language, stuff like that. So even like with those client meetings, or just me giving a tour of, for example, one of our energy storage facilities. I would stop. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to respond. I just knew how to, what that specific thing I was doing. I just knew how to talk about it and talk about it for hours. And then people will not understand still. But then, doing more research about how an MBA degree can be transformational. And it's like, okay, maybe this is the next step that I should take. And then, WP Carey, how did I learn about the program? Initially, I wasn't really thinking about getting an MBA degree here.
Mm-hmm.
I know at the time I was scheduled to go to this MBA conference, sort of, in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a different city in Korea at that time. And then I was on Facebook, as usual. And then this ad popped up talking about ASU's scholarship program, Ford Focus Scholarship. Didn't know anything about it. And then so all of a sudden I was interested. And then for that MBA conference, like, I scheduled meetings already with other admissions people, canceled all of those because they were all in conflict with this time slot that I had with this ASU admissions person.
Right.
Canceled all of those just so I could talk to this person, because I can't believe that you're providing this Ford Focus scholarship. And then it's funny because when we were talking, she didn't focus so much about the scholarship. When she spoke about the program, she spoke about the people and the goals behind the scholarship, why we were doing that. And then that made me think, probably this is the type of atmosphere, environment I have to be in, because I was working I come from a utility background, and then we have this new technology that people see as disruptive. Then probably being in a program where it's all about, asking questions, rethinking the status quo, or creating something new. And, WP Carey was achieving that through this Ford Focus Scholarship, because they wanted to create this cohort of individuals. Then I thought, maybe this should be the place where I should be, so that I could become this, maybe person that I'm imagining. And then, applied. Got through, and then that's how I got here.
Okay, so you didn't actually look at any other schools?
I did. I looked at Duke University, and then realized how competitive it was. I did not push through with that. I applied also to University of Minnesota, Carlson. I did get some scholarship from there too. So yeah, I was at the time also when I got the note that I got into the Dopey Carry program. That same week, I had scheduled an interview with UT Austin. Canceled that interview.
No need.
Where it's like, nah, it's I thought about it. I thought like this. I had this already. Had that scholarship, and then, you know, because of the time frame, you know, I couldn't wait another month. So I was like, okay, fine, let's do ASU. Sounds like a really amazing program, and then yeah. Accepted.
Okay, and then now that you've come here and you have had some expectations coming in as to how this program is going to be, how have those expectations turned out to be?
For one thing, probably I underestimated the amount of work that it required. Well, I guess for me, because I was already thinking a certain way, approaching problems a certain way. And I came into the program, I was 33 years old. So it's like, I'm kind of set in my ways already. But then, so maybe that was the part of the difficulty there. And also adjusting to climate, the culture. And also, it's my first time to be out publicly. And, you know, just talking about it freely, it's all of those changes happening at the same time, being away from home, being away from your close friends. That was something that I really didn't realize. Like, that all of those changes coming together, how much stress it would, you know, put on me. And then, so maybe that's the difficult part of the experience. But then I realized the changes for me, like skill-wise, when I went into my internship. And then that's when I realized, like, hey, I feel confident talking about these things more easily. When I talk about something that I'm passionate about, it feels easier right now. So, like, there are things about me being as an engineer before that I was able to shed off, like, you know, the stereotypical thing about engineers, you know. About, you know, how they are not as good communicators, which definitely I was. But yeah, it's something that I'm working on still. I don't see myself as that perfect communicator, but I think I've improved a lot before coming into the program. And then the Fusion Learning Labs, for me, it was something that I was really interested in before joining the program. And then now we just had our final presentation for that. I was in the mechanical engineering learning lab, and we worked on looking at solar, how to pair, well, if there's value in combining solar and energy storage, which was something I was really interested in even before coming in. And yeah, that whole exercise was great. I learned a lot, and yeah, it was a great experience, I would say.
Okay. And when you came in, did you come in with an idea of what concentrations you were going to take? And what did you end up taking eventually?
Oh my goodness. That one was a crazy mess. Because at first I thought I was going to do supply chain and entrepreneurship. Didn't do entrepreneurship. So picked up marketing because someone in class told me, like, hey, Raymond, you look like you have these skills of a marketer, a person who is in marketing. I was like, really? I don't see myself that way. Picked it up anyways. So I was doing supply chain and marketing. And then I dropped supply chain. So I was doing marketing. Wasn't really planning on doing marketing as a concentration before coming in. But then I realized, like, throughout that first year, that actually these are the skills that I wanted to pick up before coming into the program. So it's like, yeah, okay, maybe this is like the best fit for me right now.
Yeah. And of the courses that you've taken so far, do you have a favorite course?
So when I was taking, I did take some supply chain courses. Probably my favorite was procurement. because of the, I didn't really realize the elements that came, that happened behind supply chain world in general.
Mm.
And procurement kind of served as that class where it gave me this picture where all of those elements came together. Like supply chain, our supply chain class in Q2, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, 502. And then other supply chain courses that we've taken. And it's just like that procurement class kind of like gave me this better concept of what it was. And then for marketing, I guess the one that I enjoyed most is the one I'm taking right now. It's branding.
Okay.
Because it makes me look at companies in a different way. And also, like, I'm seeing the possible applications of what I'm picking up right now in terms of skills. If, for example, I wanted to get into a new company that have developed new energy technologies, building your own brand, building those perception that you want your customers to see, or developing some sort of services that your customers will appreciate, which for me was something that I really wanted to learn before starting the MBA program. But I just didn't know that it was going to be in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that those two courses are my most favorite.
Okay. And how was last year's experience of getting your internship?
Oof. So I did my internship at Ulta Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
But I got that through the Environmental Defense Fund Climate Corps Fellowship.
Okay.
So with that fellowship, you apply as a graduate student, and happens around December. And then they take in people who have an interest in or background in energy or in sustainability or in the environment in general, and want to apply that in the corporate world. Basically, how to help companies, organizations, nonprofits, cities, not just the corporate world, on how to improve their energy consumption or just their energy efficiency, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a topic that I've been highly interested in for several years now. Then yeah, applied, got in, around 1,000 applicants.
Mm.
And they only took in 114 people this year. So quite competitive. It was a long process. Actually, it began December when I applied. Got interviewed, I think it was in January. Didn't get my assignment until it was late April.
So is this with the company, or is it a general fellowship and then they place you in the company?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. They do that. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I was selected. I got into the fellowship,
mm-hmm.
and then didn't get my placement until later.
Got it.
So yeah, that's how I got placed into Ulta Beauty. So for that fellowship, you get to choose which companies you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose Ulta Beauty because they had a very interesting project. And yeah, they placed me there, and that's how I got my experience working in retail.
Okay. Can you give us some idea of what your role was and maybe your project over the summer?
Yeah, so basically my role there was to figure out how to quantify the energy that they were losing whenever customers came in and out of their stores.
Mm.
So it's through that entryway. It was very specific. There are not a lot of studies out there who analyze that specifically, which was the difficult part.
Mm.
So I had 10 weeks to figure that out. Gladly, I was able to find a few studies who did that. And then what I did was just stick to how to apply it to specifically their own data and how they might use it. So yeah, I learned a lot about the retail industry. I learned a lot about just thinking about a retail store.
Hmm.
and how that store plays into their company's bigger strategy. So even if I was doing a lot of some energy efficiency research, at the same time I was learning about the company. So in that experience, I was able to sort of leverage my engineering background and also the training I've had so far from the MBA program. So it definitely gave me a very robust experience, because I wasn't only focused on energy efficiency specifically, but how that plays into maybe their strategy or their operations. So it just energy efficiency as an aspect of the company's operations, that's something that I didn't realize I would, you know, be focusing on or learning when I was during my internship.
Okay. So you would kind of recommend this kind of fellowship route to the next students?
Oh yeah, definitely, because I feel like it's an important topic. And yeah, well, there's this negative perception towards businesses in general and their environmental performance. And this, I think, is a way for students to get into that role.
Mm-hmm.
If you have had not that experience prior, it just opens your eyes to so many issues. And then, yeah, it's a way for you to apply your learning as a business student. So you have that probably environmental activist within you coming into the fellowship. And then your business training is also something that you could leverage to, you know, make these recommendations or to talk to people, just to learn about the industry and build those relationships with people in the industry and even non-energy people.
Mm.
So I guess that's the biggest thing that I've learned or gained from the business program, was gaining that ability to speak to people from different departments, to speak to a wider breadth of people, and just to learn from them and, you know, build those relationships.
Okay. So the next few questions are just going to be some fun questions. You don't have to think a lot. So do you watch a lot of movies?
Recently, oh my gosh, for this MBA program, no.
No. But are you a movie buff in general?
Movies, not right now, no.
Okay.
I'm at that age where I fall asleep in the middle
of
a movie. It's so sad. I've never finished a Marvel movie except Logan. That's the first movie that I finished without falling asleep.
And this is in the movie halls, or?
This was, yeah.
Okay.
it's so embarrassing. So, yeah, that's, so you know that Logan was a good movie,
yeah,
because it kept me awake.
Right. And nowadays the movie theaters also have those recliner seats,
oh,
so it's
gosh,
more comfortable.
It's so, yeah, that's not conducive to my attention.
Right.
Like, it just makes me fall asleep.
Okay. What about TV shows? Do you binge watch any TV shows, or do you have a favorite one?
Westworld has been a new favorite recently.
Okay.
Game of Thrones is I don't know. It's up there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following that for a long time. So, yeah, pretty excited what they will be making next season.
Yeah, we're all waiting with bated breath for the finale, hopefully.
Yes.
It comes soon to us, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about music? Do you have a favorite artist or a genre of music?
I've been listening to, probably this is the Filipino in me, I listen to a lot of ballads for some reason. Well, it's not your Mariah Carey kind of, or Boyzone, oh gosh, my age is struck right now, Boyzone. those types of 90s ballads. Maybe I'm listening to more recent artists like Matt Corby. I don't know if he's popular. He's an Australian artist. Alan Stone is American, as far as I know. Just singer-songwriters who have a unique voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I just enjoy listening to when they play around with their vocals. For me, that's like, those are the types of songs, music that I like listening to. And definitely, yeah, throw in some Beyonce in there when, you know, I need some pick-me-up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of reading then?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite book to recommend? Or book series?
Here's the thing. Once the MBA program started, all of these hobbies that you mentioned, like, what did I do? Like, why did I stop doing them? So for books, I just have this library of books that I have to get into. So I don't have any recommendations right now.
That's fine. I don't want to put you on the spot. Did you game a lot? Are you a video gamer?
That's the thing that I cannot, you know,
give up.
It's hard. It's just there. It's something that I've enjoyed since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, probably out of all these pastimes that I have, video gaming is something that is near and dear to my heart. Probably because, like, as a kid who grew up, it was an awkward growing up stage. And, you know, being an LGBT youth in the Philippines, where being someone like that, it's stigmatized. I really didn't have a lot of friends. So video games was kind of like my way to sort of maybe work through my own emotions. And also it's a way, yeah, to entertain myself. And I'm the eldest of five kids, so... Mm-hmm. That was our way of, you know, bonding. So yeah, me and my siblings, all five of us, like, typically we, like, a game sort of would serve as a talking point for mm-hmm. us to keep. So yeah, Super Mario Party is something that we enjoy talking about. Any all of the old games that we were playing when we were kids is something mm-hmm. that comes up every now and then during our conversations nowadays. So it's like, yeah, it's great to talk about those things. And yeah, that's nowadays. Yeah, I play games on my phone. I have an Xbox, recently got a Switch. But yeah, and yeah, video games, I guess that's my biggest hobby.
So you're more of a Nintendo person who's just got an Xbox?
Actually, I was more of a PC gamer. Okay. It's funny because, like, when I was got here in the US, mm-hmm. I didn't realize how consoles was such a big thing mm-hmm. here, and I didn't really realize that difference in Asia,
mm-hmm.
at least in South Korea, where I guess a lot of people know about mm-hmm. gaming in South Korea.
Right.
It was kind of similar in Philippines. So PC gaming was my biggest thing, and then I got into consoles in Korea and here in the US. So, okay.
What about pet peeves? Do you have any? Something you want to tell us about?
Oof. It's funny. That question, I remember, was asked during orientation.
Uh-huh.
And I answered, I do not have any pet peeves.
Mm-hmm. But you realize something over time? But you have some.
It's like, I don't have any specific one. Okay. Probably there's something that kind of ticks me off every now and then. But the reason why I say that I don't have pet peeves in general is because living in the Philippines, living in South Korea, living here, just seeing how people live differently, how people communicate differently, and how people react on different things. Like, for some people, certain topics are like, it's inconsequential. Mm-hmm. For some people, like, it's like offensive to them. So mm-hmm. for me, it's like, yeah, I can't really get irritated by certain things, so I tend to, you know, just watch, observe. I'm kind of like that type of person who just tries to absorb everything first. I'll take as long as I can, and, you know, until I've sort of understood how, you know, what topics people become passionate about, or just how to navigate a social setting in these different cultures that I've been exposed to. So yeah, that's kind of my strategy and how I kind
of understand the world. It's a good way to look at things. I like it.
Yeah. And then when I feel like people are, you know, I feel confident enough to express myself in a certain setting, because now I know, like, oh, okay, these things aren't offensive to you. That's when I start to open up.
Okay. If you had to pick a person in history mm-hmm. that you'd like to have coffee with to get to know them better, mm-hmm. who would you pick, living or dead?
For some reason, I've always been curious about the Dalai Lama. I don't know why, but I find him interesting mainly because, like, you come into this realization, you're growing up, you're someone who's instantly looked up to. And that made, I guess as a kid, I was curious about that. because I was in the Philippines, someone who was bullied at a young age, and then was told that, kind of convinced myself actually that I had no place in society.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read about this person who's like, he's an important part of society. And that was kind of like a huge contrast to how I grew up. And then like, yeah, and then now he's aged, and just the things that he says, it's kind of impressive on how a unique way, or well, a really good way of how to look at humanity, how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves, which, yeah, I guess like if I talk to him, that would be just a great way for me to, I know, just understand his way of thinking, like mm-hmm. his inspiration, you know, how he grew up, you know, just, I know movies have been made about him, but you don't really know like how accurate those movies yeah. are. So just to get to talk to that, to a person like him, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I wonder with the Dalai Lama, if like what their teachings are, like they are very limited to those ancient teachings. They're not like yeah. well versed with the world right now and how mm-hmm. things are. But exactly. they still like bring out some important or
yeah.
insights that you and I can think of, right?
Yeah, somehow. Exactly. I like the simplicity of the teachings, which I guess is more relevant nowadays when you have so much noise happening all around you. And then, yeah, just like really, these are like teachings that sort of we should all like go back into, like reconsider and think about more so as we navigate this environment now that we have around the world. Like, so it, yeah, I guess he'd be a great guy to talk to.
And now after graduation, what are your plans? Where do you want to go? A particular role or company mm-hmm. or locations that you've narrowed down to? Mm-hmm.
Narrowed down? Nope.
No.
Narrowed down. Well, it'd be great if I get to experience working here in the U.S. Well, it's something that's worked for me in South Korea. Like, studied there for 2 years, 2.5 years, and worked for 2 years. Just applying what I've learned about the power industry in South Korea. So something similar I hope to apply here in the U.S. Learned about so many things about business settings here in the U.S. But I just definitely want to apply what I've learned just to gauge myself, mm-hmm. see how far I've come along. So, yeah, the U.S. would be the ideal place, I guess, for me. But anywhere where, I don't know, LGBTQ folk are protected,
mm-hmm.
that would be great. For a certain role, I've been, you know, interested about product development, product management, specifically for up-and-coming energy technologies. So that for me is a very exciting role that I hope to be in. But, and also the internship opened me up to these roles, you know, learning about these roles in corporate sustainability and corporate social responsibility, and also just having how to improve your own supply chain in terms of hitting your sustainability goals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I also am looking into.
Okay. Any companies you want to
specific? No, not really. No,
you're open to a lot.
It's funny because like when I came here, like, yeah, I'm going to go to Tesla, but then like, well, yeah, they're not the only company out right. there. So a lot of people are doing great stuff too.
Okay. And do you have any advice for the first years who are probably looking for internships right now or going mm-hmm. through the tough courses that we went through?
Just hold on tight. You'll get through it. I guess like I can't really give a sweeping, you know, recommendation to everyone, because this, I would say for first years, just understand that this is your own experience, that each of you were brought here because you had something unique to offer, and try not to forget that, because I know we tend to compare ourselves to others. But then just remind yourselves of why you're here, what brought you here, your own unique experiences that brought you to where you are right now. It's just like, hold on to that. Because the MBA program, it's a bubble. It's a tiny bubble. It's a short amount of time in your life. A lot is happening, but that's not all there is. So I guess that's something I kind of forgot. There were times when I would forget that. But then it's great to, you know, just keep in contact with your old friends and family who are not in the program, because they're the ones who should be able to anchor you down, or like, you know, just remind you that there's a life out there that's waiting for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the MBA program is not all there is. it's a wormhole of experiences, emotions, and everything else.
Hmm. Once you graduate, how would you like your peers to remember you?
Oof. That's a tough one. I don't know, maybe just like someone who is great to talk to, I guess. Like, have these fun conversations with. Because I know we spent a lot of time doing school stuff, but hopefully, like, for the ones I built strong connections with, that hopefully they would remember me as someone who's laid back. Probably it's not something that I explicitly show when I'm in class or doing projects, but you know, like, definitely there's this perfectionist part of me, like, mm-hmm. I want to do well in those things, in those areas. But then again, like, behind closed doors, I'm a different person. I'm more laid back. So hopefully I was that's something that my peers here would remember me more. So bye.
Great. And also, I know that you're in the leadership for Standout.
Yeah.
So if you want to take a couple of minutes, tell us what's coming up in the spring of 2019. Mm-hmm. And also, if you want to talk about something that you're passionate about, let us know.
Yeah, for Standout, it's something that we've started, me, Elvis Diaz, Monica Tuyana, and Luke Zesh, and many of our LGBTQ classmates. We thought that it's something that the school needed. And so based on our own personal experiences, we thought that having a club such as Standout would be a way for us also to navigate this world where we are, you know, expected to become leaders. Mm-hmm. And how do we become leaders for other people or be these role models for people who, you know, who, like I was when I was growing up, like, I didn't have role models to look up to, mm-hmm. who identified as a member of the LGBTQ community. And hopefully it's like this, having a club like this, sort of the word goes out about it, that you have a potential to be a leader, even if the society that you live in right now tells you otherwise. So that was the inspiration behind that, for me at least, behind pushing to have a Standout as a club. So this coming, this past quarter, we had our first sort of, I would call it maybe a short workshop on really understanding what the letters LGBT and Q mean and all the other terminologies associated with the community, what they mean, and really how it is to live as a person who is marginalized, I would say. And then, and this coming semester, we hope to talk more, delve more into that. And we're currently in the works on developing a 1-hour lunch and learn. Mm-hmm. Specifically for that. So yeah, please stay tuned. We announcements will go out definitely.
Okay. And now how should people get in touch with you? Where are you most active on social media?
Ooh, social media. I'm on LinkedIn definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using that as much as I can right now. So yeah, just look me up on LinkedIn, drop a message. I'm also on Instagram at remund.levios, just posting the pictures I've taken, because photography is kind of a tiny hobby of mine.
Okay.
So yeah, you want to connect through there. I'm on Twitter also. Yeah.
Okay. That was it. This is the end of the episode.
Ooh.
Thank you so much for doing this with us.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Funny story, the last couple years that he has participated in around the world, he's brought some great ube snacks, and I've loved them. Raymond, keep being the always smiling person that you are. To all our listeners, thank you for supporting us. We are available on Spotify,
Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, etc. Happy holidays. Have a wonderful time with your friends and family. I will see you next year in 2019. Goodbye and peace.